Going to be looking at an Old Testament passage this morning from the book of Leviticus, the 18th chapter. Leviticus 18, and I'm going to read one verse, and we'll pick up our topic from that verse. Leviticus, the 18th chapter, the 26th verse. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes, my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. And we'll stop reading there this morning at that particular verse. As most of you, I get a lot of emails that are forwarded to me about a lot of different topics. Recently, I received one from actually a relative of mine who was very upset with the way things are going in America. I want to read a portion of that to you here this morning. I think it shows the frustration of many of us who were raised in a Christian culture and who find that things have changed so much since the days that we were young. It begins like this. However, there are a few things that are, or that those who have recently come to our country, and apparently some born here, need to understand. The idea of America being a multicultural community has served only to dilute our sovereignty and our national identity. As Americans, we have our own culture, our own society, our own language, and our own lifestyle. This culture has been developed over centuries of struggles, trials, and victories by millions of men and women who have sought freedom. We speak English, not Spanish, Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, Russian, or any other language. Therefore, if you want to become part of our society, learn the language. In God we trust is our national motto. This is not some Christian right-wing political slogan. We adopted this motto because Christian men and women on Christian principles founded this nation, and this is clearly documented. It is certainly appropriate to display it on the walls of our schools. If God offends you, then I suggest you consider another part of the world as your new home, because God is part of our culture. If Stars and Stripes offends you or you don't like Uncle Sam, then you should seriously consider a move to another part of this planet. We are happy with our culture and have no desire to change, and we really don't care how you did things where you came from. This is our country, our land, and our lifestyle. Our First Amendment gives every citizen the right to express his opinion, and we will allow you every opportunity to do so. But once you are done complaining, whining, and griping about our flag, our pledge, our national motto, or our way of life, we highly encourage you to take advantage of one other great American freedom, the right to leave. And it concludes with, pass this along if you agree. This email, regardless of your opinions of particular parts of it, shows a great frustration of many Americans who have seen and watched America grow from a Christian culture to what we call a multiculture. Multiculturalism, multicultural pluralism, where all religions and all cultures have a right to be in our country, is suicide. American pluralism originally sanctioned the concept that different Christian denominations have a right in America to exist and freely exercise their right to worship. It was not a pluralism of various religions of the world. It was a pluralism that allowed the Baptists and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Lutherans and the Catholics to live together in one America under the God whom we recognize as the Christian God. And now it's being passed off as if we have always believed that all religions, from Buddhism to Hinduism to Islam to Christianity, all have a right to exist and fight for prominence in America. What I'm going to say to you today is going to be rather shocking. And probably this is the only church in America where you will hear what I have to say. There could be a half dozen somewhere out there, but I doubt it. Some will call it hate speech. Some will say I'm idealistic. It cannot be implemented, and I have no desire to use the civil authorities to implement what I have to say today. Some may agree, but say that there you are 20 to 30 years ahead of your time. And that's okay. It always amazed me how Dr. Rushdoony used to speak 30 years ago of things that people today speak as if they were common. He spoke about a world like you. He was a radical. He spoke about homeschools. He was a radical. He spoke about Christian schools. He was a radical 30 years ago. Today, everybody speaks about them. It's common. Some men are way ahead of their time or of the times. What I'm going to say to you today is something that which I ask you just to think about it. Old Testament Israel provides a pattern for us even today as to what a Christian nation will look like. And one of the things I want to mention to you is that not everyone who lived in Israel was an Israelite. There were many, many people in Israel who were sojourners, foreigners, strangers. These strangers were from other nations. They did not worship Jehovah. They did not worship the only true God. They were not from Abraham, but they were allowed to live in Israel, even engage in business, and were protected by the civil law of that nation. We have an indication in the book of Ecclesiastes that many of them did very well in Israel and enjoy the great blessings that came from Israel. We see in the Old Testament that foreigners were protected by the civil law. And whenever they were in need, they were to be the objects of mercy. And I'll be looking at several verses here this morning. I want to read to you from Exodus 23, verse 9. Exodus 23, the ninth verse. You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves were or know the feelings of a stranger. For you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. God in the Old Testament, when He formed Israel as His covenant people, allowed strangers in the land, those who were not citizens, those who were not of the covenant. And God told His people that you must not oppress them. You must be kind to them. For you yourselves were once strangers in a land, and you know what it's like to be a stranger in the land. Exodus 22, verse 21. Exodus 22, 21. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. The book of Leviticus 19, verse 33. Leviticus 19. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. There will be strangers in the land, and you will love him as you love yourself. Be kind to strangers. Be kind to aliens. Be kind to sojourners who are not natural citizens of the land in which you live. Deuteronomy chapter 10, the 17th verse. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. The alien is like the orphan and the widow, and God will take care of them, and God will give them food, and God will give them clothing. They are special objects of our charity and our love. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your countrymen or one of your aliens who is in your land, in your towns. You shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he will not cry against you to the Lord and become sin in you. For those who are aliens, for those who are Mexicans, for those who are not speaking our language, who are living in our area, we are to be good employers. We are to make sure they are paid a fair wage. We are to make sure they are paid on time. For if we do not, God will set Himself against us. God cares about the strangers and the aliens and the sojourners and those who do not speak our language and those who do not live our ways or our customs. Chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, the 19th verse. Chapter 27, the 19th verse. Cursed is he who distorts the justice due an alien, orphan and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Every alien, every person from any other culture in the world, any other nation in the world, is welcome in our land. And they are to be protected by the laws of our land. They are to be special objects of our charity and our mercy. We as the church should be known as those who are first to seek out the good of those who are from other nations, strangers and aliens who speak other languages. In the Old Testament, they were welcome in the land, and they were protected by the law of the land. Because being a stranger is hard. Being in a different culture is hard. Speaking a different language is hard. Even now, the automatic tellers in Kingsport have two choices, English or Spanish. That's good. That's good. We want to do all that we can to help those who are strangers and aliens living among us. And the Israelites were to give special attention to their needs. It is an opportunity for evangelism. It is an opportunity to show mercy and charity to these people, and to show them the wonder and the greatness of Christ who has blessed America. And that's the reason they're coming here. That's the reason we're not going there. God has blessed America through Jesus Christ and through our forefathers. And we want you to enjoy the blessings of the true and the living God. And so we welcome you. We will protect you. We will make sure that you have justice in the civil courts. And we will be merciful. We will see that you are clothed and that you have food. That was the Old Testament view of strangers in the land. Yet, in light of that, there were restrictions on foreigners. Foreigners must respect and obey the civil laws of our nation. They must keep our statutes. They must not do any abominations. Again, from the book of Leviticus, the 18th chapter, verse 26, Leviticus 18. But as for you, you who are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. If you are a citizen, you are not to break the law, you are not to do any abominations, and if you are an alien, you must likewise keep the civil law of our nation. It's fine to visit here. It's okay to do business here. It's all right to live here. But when you live here and you move here, you must obey our civil laws. These are laws based ultimately on God's holy word. And you must not usurp our laws, because if you usurp our laws, you usurp our religion and you rebel against our God. And we will not tolerate that. So it was in Israel. You will bear the penalties of breaking the law just as we do. There were other laws in the Old Testament. I won't read them all. One of them was aliens and sojourners could not hold office in civil government. You can be here, you're our guest. We will be charitable to you, you will obey our laws, but you cannot hold office in our civil government. Deuteronomy 17:15. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your countrymen you shall set as king over yourselves. You may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not a countryman. In Old Testament Israel, if you want to run for political office, you can only do so if you are a citizen. If you are part of the covenant, if you are a sojourner, if you are an alien, if you are a foreigner, you cannot hold office in our land. You cannot have authority and power over our people. You can enjoy our feast and our festivals and the benefits of our religion, but you cannot participate in the celebration of the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 43. Exodus chapter 12, verse 43. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner
is to eat of it. And also one other rule, there were many rules, one other rule was you cannot marry our daughters or our sons. They are forbidden. You can live here. You can enjoy the blessings of our nation. You are objects of our charity and our love. We must love you as we love ourselves. But you must remember, you must obey our laws. You cannot hold office in our nation. You can enjoy our feast and the benefits of our religion, but you cannot participate in Passover. And your sons and daughters cannot marry our sons and our daughters. Remember that. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? We want to protect what our forefathers have given us. This is the way we protect it. This is the way that we can show charity. We can evangelize the aliens and the foreigners. They're welcome in our land. But there are certain rules that you have to follow. We must protect our heritage. We must protect our covenant with God. We must protect our nation. We must protect our children. And these are the stipulations before you can be part of our land and our nation. God was a very wise God in giving them these rules. There was one other law, and this is the controversy of which is certainly not popular and maybe I am 30 to 50 years ahead of what we will realize in the days to come. What this email expressed, you cannot have many gods in one nation and survive. You cannot have many religions in one nation and survive. You can have many denominations of the Christian religion and have a great nation, which we have enjoyed down through the ages. But you cannot have many, many gods in the same nations because derivative of those gods are the laws of that nation, the law of that nation and the customs of that nation. And only one God will rule. And so it was in the Old Testament among Israel. The foreigners could enjoy the blessings of our land. They were welcome in our land. They were objects of love and charity in our land. They had to obey the civil laws of our land. But also, in Israel, they must not worship their gods in our land. And I would submit to you that if a nation is to stand today, we must return to that one principle. If we are to be a Christian nation, we must confess the one and the living true God. And we cannot have many religions competing in America. God said in the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Israel was not a pluralistic society. It was not multicultural. People from all cultures were welcome. They were to be the objects of mercy and grace. But God said, when you come, leave your gods at home. In this nation, we worship one God, the true God, the Christian God. Leave your gods at home.
There is no polytheism in Israel. And in essence, in America, there was no polytheism. There was only a pluralism of Christian denominations. We are one nation under one God. And hopefully someday we will see that's the only way we will ever survive. We will never survive with many, many gods and many, many religions. The first time a Muslim gets elected to the office of the President of the United States, we'll see how multicultural you really are. You're talking about letters over the internet. We'll see what happens. We'll see how friendly you are to Allah. There was one rule in Israel, and there must be that rule in any nation that wishes to survive as a Christian nation. There will be no temple to Moloch. There will be no temple to Baal alongside of God's temple. There will be no choose the religion of your choice. We'll go back to where we used to be. Choose the church of your choice. Not the religion of your choice. Christianity is our religion. Christ is our God. And all other religions are a threat to our security, our national security, and the hope of our children. Foreigners, you are allowed, you are welcome to enjoy the benefits of our nation, but you cannot worship your gods in our nation. You must go back to your own nation and do that. Explicitly, we are Jehovah worshipers only. No false gods, no proselyting allowed in our nation. You are welcome, but you are welcome without your gods. Those were wise principles. I think our forefathers understood those principles, much more so than we do. God will not compete with idols. And if we allow their gods, we dilute our society, we change our civil laws, we eventually destroy our land and the blessings of our land. Why is America so insecure today? Why are our borders no longer securing us? If you read the Bible, it's because the people of God have become rebellious against God. And God says, one of the first curses upon a nation, I will take away the security of your land. And that's what we're seeing in America, and we will see even more so of that. You cannot have competing gods in the same society because you cannot have competing law systems. Law systems come from God. And to believe that we can be a pluralistic society and many, many religions living all together is a foolish thing. So our forefathers believed. That's what they believed. In the state of Delaware, a sample of the state constitutions. In the state of Delaware, in the constitution of the state of Delaware, it reads this way. Everyone appointed to public office must say, I do profess faith in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, His only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God and blessed forever. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration. Unquote. In the state of Delaware. This is not in the church. You can't even get that passed in a church today. This was in the civil government. Our forefathers knew that if we were to remain as a Christian nation, we must have men only who are Christian by profession, who are committed to Christ and Christ alone. States were explicitly Christian. And that's why they thought there was no need for federal oaths. Because the states were already Christian. That's the way they thought. They thought biblically. You can't have many gods
In a nation, you can only have one God. So it was in Israel, and so if we are to be a Christian nation, that's the way it must be in America. Aliens, foreigners, sojourners, you are welcome. We will love you. We will love you as we love ourselves. We will make sure that you are protected by the civil laws. If you need food and shelter, we will make sure you have them. You can enjoy our feast. You can enjoy the 4th of July. You can enjoy all the blessings of Christmas. But you cannot bring your gods into our nation. And so things were changed. Some people say with the Civil War, federalism replaced state rights. The pluralism of Christian denominations was replaced with the pluralism of pagan religions. And this day we believe that pluralism means that all religions are equal. America was one nation under the Christian God, with a plurality of denominations. Today we are many, and we have many competing gods in one nation, and it will never work. It will never work. America has been religiously balkanized. And balkanization means continuous war. May God hasten the day when we say to Muslims and Buddhists and all the other religions in America, you're welcome. You're welcome here. We will love you as we love ourselves. You can enjoy the fruits of our nation, of our country. You will be protected by our civil law. If you have need of food, if you have need of shelter, we will be there. But there will be no mosque. There will be no temples to false gods. Not in our country. You know, I can remember the day probably 10, 20 years ago when I saw my first mosque driving up Interstate 81. It was a shock. I was shocked and I was scared. But nobody cares anymore. Because we have forgotten. We have been misled. And we think that somehow we can be one nation, united under many gods. And that's a lie. You're welcome in our nation, but leave your gods and your temples and your mosque at home. Go back to your own nations and worship over there. You'll not be allowed to worship them here. I told you it was radical. You won't hear it anywhere else but in this church, probably. It's impractical now, isn't it? We're too far gone. We've trained up a generation who knows nothing about its history and nothing about its culture and nothing about how gods compete with one another until one God wins out. It's not hate speech. We are to love those who are aliens and strangers. But it's only the truth of God that competing religions cannot exist in the same society. It is a fraud that is being perpetuated on our minds and hearts and our children and even upon ourselves, and even the church has accepted it. But it's national suicide. And we leave our children to inherit this disaster. May God give us wisdom in these days. And may God raise up leaders in His church who will speak the truth. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray for the unconverted. We pray for the Muslims. We pray for the Buddhists and the Hindus who worship a false god. We pray for the opportunity to show mercy and kindness and charity toward them, to let them know they are welcome here in this land if we be a Christian nation. But help us to see, O God, it is a fool who thinks that many religions can compete in one nation and survive. Multiculturalism is suicide. Our forefathers knew that. They wrote it in their laws. And we are so far from the beliefs of our forefathers that we no longer even understand what they knew. O Father, deliver us from destruction. Have mercy upon our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, who will have to face a nation that thinks it can live in peace with many gods and many cultures. Lord, have mercy upon them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. O God, our Father, we ask that we may not be deceived in thinking somehow that we have the evidence of God's working in our hearts without a love of Your commandments. Your commandments are good. And as the Spirit of God leads us to walk in Your commandments, they lead us to love God and to love one another. O Lord, give us such love for the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us conclude with our last hymn, number 564, standing as we sing all verses of hymn number 564.